I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, the place to come for movie reviews, along with some extra fun talk about movie-related topics like box office and awards. You can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and basically any place else you can find podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter for even more content. If you like what we do, feel free to share us with your friends, like and leave feedback wherever you listen to us, and let us know what you think. Now, let's get on with the show.
Ryan, it is Christmas season. And amazingly, Hollywood is dropping a lot of movies this week as the Christmas holiday hits on Saturday, which is amazing. Last week, we got Tom Holland and Spider-Man No Way Home, which we both pretty much enjoyed. This week, there's a lot of films coming out. This week, we have The Matrix opens on the 22nd. We have the film we're going to talk about in a second that also opens on the 22nd. We have American Underdog with Zachary Levi opens on Christmas Eve or day, depending on how you want to look at it, I guess. There's an animated film that we're going to talk about that also opens on the 22nd. So there's a little something for everybody come the Christmas season. The film we're going to talk about is actually shouldn't be released right now. It should have been released a year ago. From 20th Century Studios. So it's one of those Disney Fox buyout / COVID super delayed movies. And that would be the third Kingsman movie, The Kingsman, which is our prequel, how we got to Eggsy, really, is how it boils down. Directed by Matthew Vaughn. So, you know, not unfamiliar with the material. Ralph Fiennes, Gemma Arterton, Rhys Ifans. There's a million people in this freaking film, it feels like. Jimon Hansu, Charles Dance, who actually is great in everything he shows up in. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people. Tom Hollander is in it. Hollander, not Holland, not Spider-Man. Daniel Brühl. I mean, yeah, it's really great. Packed full of a lot of character actors. But we go back to pre and post-World War One, and the genesis of the Kingsman independent intelligence organization. The first film was really... I mean, I really liked it. I thought it had great energy. The second one, a little dicey. Where did you fall on those first two before we get into this one?
You know, I remember enjoying the first one quite a bit, enough so that really looked forward to a sequel.
Yeah, I think we all did.
But was not given the sequel that I think that we all wanted. Part of the charm of the original, if I remember correctly, was its Britishness.
It didn't hurt.
And so when you transplanted the story and brought it over to America, it wasn't, I don't know, as interesting, I guess. It didn't work.
Right. Well, now we go back to the British side, or at least the European side. Let's go European.
Yeah.
For the Kingsman. Where how'd you feel about this one?
I mean, honestly, I walked out trying to figure out what it was about the first one that I liked, because yes, this goes back to being more British European, and for me, a lot of it's kind of boring. They're advertising this as this kind of nonstop action film, and that's not what it is.
No, that's true.
I had a real hard time really caring about any of the characters, and that's problematic in this one because there's a father-son relationship that you probably should care about.
Yeah.
At least. That I just really, you know, didn't. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's the tone or what it is, but I like it better than the second one, but I don't know that I'm, you know, hoping for anything. Well, you know, at this point, I don't think that I care if they make any more.
I don't know if they will, which,
and you know, and that's kind of problematic in the sense that I know they'd like to.
Yeah.
That they are trying to, you know, they are trying to build this universe. And I really couldn't care less at this point, I think.
That's not unfair. None of those comments are unfair. Yes, the second one really did dial back the enthusiasm that people had for the Kingsman universe. And it might be, I hadn't considered just the Americanization of it. It just, I don't know if the tonal difference is a result of that or if it's independent of that, but I can see what you're saying because the American sensibilities maybe are a little different. They are a little different than British sensibilities. But I just thought that the story wasn't as well put together as the first one, which is why I did like this one better than that sequel, but that sequel really didn't make that hard.
No.
I thought that the energy of the first one in the action sequences, which they have, but you're right, it's not this nonstop go, go, go.
It's mostly the last act.
Yeah.
Is when a lot of the action happens. So
yeah, the first half or so, it really is just kind of setting up the world that has to change to generate the Kingsman. And unfortunately that's a lot of father son talky talk. There's a lot of the politics because it does draw on real world politics of the time.
Yeah.
To get these people into World War One.
Correct. So I don't know. I mean, I guess in the past, I've never really had an issue with manipulation of history or at least not serious reservations. I mean, Tarantino does it all the time, and we all just kind of say, oh, isn't that funny? But I guess maybe there's a part of me that there was no way that they could have foresaw this, but we're living in a era where the rewriting of history is actually something that's taken place. But there are a lot of people who are trying to change the history narrative and things. And so it's almost, I guess for me, I shouldn't take it this seriously, but you know, a revisionist history film to me just isn't that interesting right now. You know, we've got enough conspiracy theories, and this is you know, really a movie about, you know, a conspiracy theory and to a certain extent, and you know, shadow organizations, and it's nothing that, you know, we haven't seen before, but I guess I'm just not in the mood or the place for it right now.
Right.
It kind of just, I don't know. I don't know why it bothered me. It didn't bother me a lot, but you know, if I'm thinking about it, which, you know, typically I don't think I would have. I think it would have been, okay, yeah, this is funny. You find a place in history and we squeeze in and, you know, it's been done a lot.
It doesn't change the events. Well, so, so if you want to look at it that way, then let's talk. Because I totally get what you're saying. about because they're not changing the history, the events.
No, but
they're changing the motivations.
The motivations
of the events. I get that. So let's compare that to two somethings. Let's compare it to two somethings of the same that are closer to each other than they are the King's Man. Sherlock Holmes, Game of Shadows.
Sure.
And The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which basically are the same film.
Yeah.
But they deal with people trying to start a world war. Now, neither one is expressly played for laughs, although they are both humorous.
Correct.
One more so than the other. And they're both built around completely fictional characters set in a real world. Now, does that make it different that The King's Man, and man, we're really going really weirdly political in this, really it deals with King George and the German chancellor and the Russian czar. Like three real people. So again, does it matter that those are real people as opposed to completely fictional people? Does that make a difference in your head looking at it now?
It might. I mean, I guess, you know, but I also think, okay, so how do I feel about, you know, The Watchmen? How do I feel about this? There's a lot of stories that do this.
Well, even The Watchmen's a little different because The Watchmen creates a separate universe and moves with it. Tarantino has built his own universe. He doesn't play in history. He changes it and then runs his universe from that point.
Sure.
Whereas this does not. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen does not. Sherlock Holmes does not. It keeps history the same and just deals in those margins. So I wonder if it's the realism of having, as actual characters in the film, three real people, but now ascribing to historical figures motivations and backstories.
And to be fair, the characterizations are pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
There's nothing really in this film that suggests that we should take any of that seriously.
Right.
Although the film does kind of take itself seriously.
I think that was part of the charm of the first one, is that everything was played straight. It was completely over the top. But it's almost, and maybe it is the British thing again, because, you know, part of what makes, say, Monty Python so funny is that no matter how outrageous whatever they were doing was, everything was played straight. And you just had to deal with the fact that they were giving it to you straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think that was part of the joy of the first film, is that everything was played completely straight, and the second one kind of lost that, because then you got poppy, and now you're in this, and again everything is played pretty mundanely, except that the situations are ratcheted up, but all of the action, I mean, you know, no one's winking at the camera, there's no, isn't this cleverly blown up?
Yeah.
So I again, now we're back to that British versus America thing.
Well, and you know, I'm trying to remember. It's just Samuel Jackson was in the first one, right?
Yep.
And had, it was just this crazy, outrageous plot, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Whereas that didn't feel like it was necessarily grounded in anything that was real, and that was kind of part of the fun of it, I think.
Right.
In that it was so over the top, ridiculous. Yes, played with a straight face, but. That it was, you know, just, I guess, you know, the one thing that they're kind of pushing with this film is how it's naughty, how it's reckless, or what, you know, I mean, it's over the top, it's excessive, it's all these things.
Yeah.
But yes, the first film was. But I didn't feel like this film was really pushing any buttons or envelopes or.
So it was too close?
I just think it's weird that I look at the advertising for this and I think it's completely wrong. Because I think people are going to get a movie. They're not going to get the movie they expect to get.
Well, that's never happened in Hollywood where they completely promote a film wrong.
No, never.
That's never happened.
It's almost like they wanted it to be. This is what, you know, the film they wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is the film they're advertising rather than the film they actually have.
And I wonder if there were some cuts between, because it was on the shelf for a while.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, it's not a terrible movie. I think it's slow in places. I think that performances are generally good. It's a bit convoluted, but that kind of happens when you're, it's trying to oversimplify history, I think, to a certain extent. There's something fun about this idea of this Scotsman who wants to take over the, that is so bitter. And I mean, it's very, that is a very, United Kingdom thing. The Scottish versus, England and whatnot. So it there's some stuff there that probably works okay.
Mm.
But it just wasn't. I mean, for me, the film needed to be more of an adrenaline rush, I guess. Again, that's kind of what they're selling in the advertisement.
Right.
But it really wasn't that. And I don't know. I mean, I'm feeling indifferent to a lot of stuff right now.
Fair enough. And it happens.
But I hate it because it's hard to, the film just didn't really work for me. The Kingsmen don't come together really until the very end of the film, which is fine.
Right.
Which is, totally fine, but I don't know. I mean, as far as prequels go, I have to kind of say, do I care? Do I care how this organization was established? And now that I know why and how, and I'm still not sure that I care.
Fair enough. You know, part of my problem watching this was that I was comparing too many scenes to 1917.
Bad
timing. You know, I loved 1917. So,
yeah.
I think I like this a little more than you did. Like I said, I think it's closer to the original than the sequel was. But that original was just so unexpected.
And I think that was the kind of the charm of the original one is I think in the first few minutes, doesn't someone get sliced in half?
Yeah.
And heads explode. And there's that scene in the church, I remember correctly. Yeah, yep. That's just absolutely crazy. So I think part of, again, I think that's the movie they're advertising, but that's not the movie that was made.
Or at least that's not the movie that's going to be in theaters.
Yeah. So, whatever lightning in the bottle that, they had for the first film, they've kind of just haven't been able to replicate whatever the formula was. Just haven't been able to capture it again.
All right. Well, so that puts you in the indifferent camp.
Yeah.
I still think it's fun. And I think there are parts of it that you really do want to see on a big screen. Cause a lot of it is really cinematic. But you're right. A lot of the action, it is backloaded with the action sequences. So if you go see it, don't expect to, get wowed right out of the gate, in an action sense, because it's not really there. So, so that opens tomorrow, December 22nd or today, depending on when I can drop this. Just prior to your Christmas holiday, if you're feeling like going to the theaters, it's out. It's fine. We'll see what happens. It's up against week two of Spider-Man. It is up against a lot of things, as we talked about earlier. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. Again, we've got a lot more stuff to talk about, and then we'll be done for the holidays. And then I'm not sure what we're going to see first in January, but we'll be seeing something because the movies are still coming, and that is a good thing for everybody. So that is it for us. But until we get back to you, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
See you guys.
And we'll talk to everyone later.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.